Good morning and welcome to the Mesa City Council study session for Thursday, September 29th. The first item on our agenda for today's meeting is to review the agenda for Monday's meeting. So if you can take a look at that, Council. Interesting that we are issuing a liquor license to the Boy Scouts of America on item 3A.
Very progressive.
There we go. Yeah, I knew they were making some changes there, so that's great. Item 4, our various purchasing contracts. And item 5, our various resolutions. Yes, Mr. Cavanaugh.
I just wanted to comment under 5D. I want to applaud the city staff for all the work that they did on the request for funds from the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community. I think it again shows a great partnership that our community has with the tribal community. The grants they're providing really will be substantial assistance for both public and private organizations in our community.
Thank you for pointing that out, Mr. Vice Mayor. Yeah, nearly $1 million from the tribe to help with some infrastructure and public safety and education items in Mesa. That's we very much appreciate that.
Can we get a little bit more on 5E?
Absolutely. Mr. Brady, any more information on 5E?
Yeah, Mayor, Council, that's a subject for executive session, so we'll give you a briefing. If you wait till then, it'll be fine.
We'll get that in the executive session. Thank you. Any other questions on Monday's agenda, Council? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the next item for this agenda. Item 2A is to hear a presentation and discuss the conversion of existing high-pressure sodium streetlight fixtures to more energy-efficient light-emitting diode streetlight fixtures and provide direction on possible financing options and transitioning the city's entire streetlight network from the one thing to the other thing. Okay. I'm sorry. Oh, thank you very much. I should have noted that both Mr. Thompson and Finter are out of town today and excused. Thank you, Mr. Richens. Gentlemen, thank you very much. I know this is a topic nationwide, and so it's good to hear about how we're going to handle it in Mesa, Arizona.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. My name is Lenny Hume. I'm with the Transportation Department. I won't read through the agenda items since you did a great job with it, but I'll turn it over to Gordon Haas, the Deputy Transportation Director. He's going to talk about the presentation, introduce the rest of the folks, and then I'll take the questions as we go.
Mayor, members of the Council, we're pleased to be here this morning. Let me introduce who I've got with me this morning. To my right is Woody Woodward, and he is the streetlight supervisor with the City of Mesa. And to my left is Adam Bowers with Wright Engineering, and he's our technical expert and can help us answer questions this morning about LED conversion. So we are here today to talk about streetlight conversion to more energy-efficient LED fixtures. We're first going to talk about a background information, a comparison of our existing high-pressure sodium streetlight fixtures to the more energy-efficient LED fixtures and the benefits of conversion, and we'll provide some cost information, and we will also discuss some potential funding mechanisms and then seek your guidance on this topic. First of all, to define streetlight conversion to LED fixtures, we would like to replace the existing high-pressure sodium light fixtures with more energy-efficient light-emitting diode, which is LED for short, light fixtures to reap the benefits of lower energy usage and lower maintenance costs. Let's compare the two types of lights. The high-pressure sodium lamps have been commercially available since the 1970s, whereas the LEDs are a relatively new on the scene. They became commercially available for streetlights since 2008. The high-pressure sodium, having been an older technology, the cost of the fixtures is pretty much leveled and nearly constant, whereas LED fixtures, every 2 years, they're coming out with new fixtures that are more energy efficient and are also less expensive. The high-pressure sodium versus the LED. The LED offers better light placement, better control of the placement of your light. It also offers a longer lamp life, lower maintenance costs, lower energy costs, and it's proven to be so attractive that many manufacturers that previously have manufactured high-pressure sodium are now moving towards the LED fixtures. We currently, every year, spend in energy costs on streetlights approximately $3.1 million. The LED fixtures use less energy and their maintenance costs are lower, primarily because the lamp life is much longer, whereas the high-pressure sodium needs to be replaced on average every 5 years, the lamp. The LED often lasts 20 years or more. Other cities that are using LED...
Have a question? Excuse
yes.
me.
Okay,
Mr.
so they've been making them since 2008. How do we make that claim?
Councilmember,
walk us through the testing that's done to show us that they last 20 years. So I believe it's been 8 years since they first started coming on the market, right? So,
Councilmember, what they do in accelerated testing results, you realize the streetlight only operates in the
evening. So your cycle time is much different, but in the testing cycle, they'll continue to run them continuous to see how long they will last. Along with that, they can estimate based on the time on it, is that correct? Estimate the time on how they would last in the field. So they accelerate the testing on those lamps. LEDs have been around, not just we're talking about the streetlight industry, the actual LED diodes have been around for years, and so they have some history on those.
And Councilmember Richens, often the life of the LED is also not to complete burnout, but when it reaches a certain level of degradation in the amount of light, when it is only putting out 80% of the original light level. And so they can look at those curves and see when it will reach that point on its curve.
So do you then, on your maintenance program, do a more proactive replacement maintenance instead of waiting till they burn out? So under the current scheme, that you have a light, when you burn it out, you go out and replace it. So how do you handle a replacement program then? Or am I ahead of the...
No, you're fine.
No, you're fine. Councilmember Richens, with the high-pressure sodium, we wait until they burn out and receive a report from the citizens, and we go out and replace the lamp. With the LED, there would not be a burnout, so we would have to maintain the life history of that fixture and know when it reached the 20 years and replace it at that point in time.
Do you have the software capability to do that?
We do.
In-house?
Yes. Yeah, okay. We've had that since the... early or late 2000s, we have a City Works, which is our asset management software. We track all the assets. We wear traffic control signs the same way. They have a 10-year life. We project when that 10 years up, we go out and do a replacement of that sign. So we forecast that out.
Thank you.
Thank you. Also, to provide you some information about other Valley cities that are using LEDs for all new installations, this would be anytime they put in a new fixture or the new subdivision goes in. Phoenix, Chandler, Surprise, and Glendale all would require those new subdivisions to go in as LED lighting. I also found out yesterday that we omitted from the list an important city, which is Gilbert. Our neighbor also does the same. Cities that are engaged in mass LED conversion projects, so they're going through the city and replacing all of their high-pressure sodium fixtures with LED, include Phoenix is now at some point in the process of an RFP, SOQ process. Austin, Texas, and Las Vegas, Nevada. City Mesa currently has approximately 36,000 high-pressure sodium fixtures, and the cost of replacing them, including the labor costs, so both material and labor, is approximately $240 to $765 per fixture. The total cost to go throughout the entire city and replace those 36,000 streetlights with LEDs is approximately $14.6 million. And the average return on investment period for that exercise is 11.5 years. Our current practice, what we're currently doing is as a high-pressure sodium fixture requires or becomes bad, the ballast goes bad, or the fixture itself goes bad, or the pole is struck in a traffic accident, we would, rather than putting up high-pressure sodium, we put up an LED, a new LED fixture. When we put up the new pole, we put up an LED fixture. We also encourage new developments and new installations to use LED, and I think uniformly across the board, the developers have been using LED lighting for the new subdivisions. So possible alternative timeframes for LED conversions, using our current practice where we replace it only as the fixture, the high-pressure fixture goes bad, we're spending about $350,000 per year, and it would take approximately 40 years to complete the conversion. If we were to spread these costs, the $14.6 million over 5 years, it would be approximately $2.9 million per year, and again, spread over 5 years. possible financing or funding mechanisms would be to use local sales tax. This likely has viability only if we continue our current practice of replacing it as the high-pressure sodium fixtures go bad, or to use bond funding, put it on the next future bond election, or to use third-party financing. There are companies that perhaps you have been approached by the companies to provide financing, and they are paid back by the guaranteed energy savings performance. We've typically found that we're able to get financing at as attractive rates or more attractive rates than the third-party companies have been able to. Our recommendation is that we seek bond funding for the LED conversions of the $14.6 million as part of the next transportation-related bond election, with the costs of conversion spread over 5 years, and the cost of the. And with that, I'll entertain any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Mr. Luna.
Thank you, Gordon. Appreciate all the hard work that you do and your staff. Have you ever thought of combining technologies when we use we put these lights and perhaps making them Wi-Fi available so that we can put routers throughout the city and maybe pairing it with information technology to making free Wi-Fi to our community? I know that there's a whole concept of smart cities where they actually do that. They put Wi-Fi capability throughout the lights. They get the power from the light, and then they're able to transmit Wi-Fi capabilities throughout the communities. Is that something you might want to look at as you move forward?
Councilmember Luna, as far as I know, the conversion to LEDs is kind of unrelated to the Wi-Fi, but mm-hmm. while that work is being done, they could be packaged together and done together. We could look into that.
I sit on the ITC committee, and there's movements among communities throughout the United States to do that. So not only would you put Wi-Fi, but you would able to track what's happening in communities in the downtown area, for example, so that you can see traffic patterns and the flow of pedestrians as well as cars. So that's something you might want to look at. I can certainly forward you that information as far as what communities are doing relative to that. And the other thing I wanted to thank you so much for working with my community. As yes. you know, the Desert Uplands is very concerned about the LED placements on Ellsworth and McKellips. And so I think this needs to be studied further. You've received a number of emails.
Yes,
not pleased with the current LED lights that are currently on that location. So I would ask that perhaps maybe Mr. Brady could direct the SAT committee to look at that and address some of those concerns. I received many emails, and I know that you receive them as well. So I really believe this is something that we need to look at, and perhaps mitigating some of the light output in those that part of that community.
Thank you, Councilmember Luna. Yes, I have received those emails as well, and we will. I think a lot of their concern has been the lighting levels. Certainly there is some concern about use of LEDs, but there's also concern about the lighting levels on the arterial streets, and we certainly will look at that. And you and I have previously talked that we would take that to the SAT subcommittee and look at lighting levels in the Desert Uplands area and see if there needs to be some adjustment there.
Mr. Richens.
Yeah, and some of that can be done with color temperature. There's a wider array on the market now, and you know, some of those adjustments through studies. But the question I had is $3.1 million that we spend, is that combination of SRP and City of Mesa energy costs, or is that just SRP?
Councilmember Richens, that is a combination of City of Mesa Electric and SRP.
So what if we do this conversion, what are we negotiating with SRP about those costs? Because as I understand, most streetlights are not metered, so we don't know exactly how much. So I'm guessing we pay a flat fee per pole.
That is correct. So you're correct, Councilmember Richens, that they do have a rate structure. Many of them are not metered, and we pay a flat rate per pole. The numbers that we presented today are built around SRP's current billing rate structure. We would like to have a discussion with SRP about their billing rate structure and adjust it to something that's more advantageous to the City of Mesa.
And that doesn't that affect our return on investment pretty quick? Because if all of a sudden we're paying 80% of energy costs, you know, this is not a 11.5 year payback. It's dramatically different than that. It doesn't model right. So,
Councilmember Richard, you're correct. It does affect the return on investment time period.
So, I mean, probably this whole program should come back to a SAT committee. I'm less inclined to debt finance, I have been approached by these companies. I've talked to several of them. Actually, I toured one when I was on vacation. I know my wife hates me, but Yeah, but it was a historic city that we were touring, and it was amazing what they did with LEDs and light, different light temperatures and in certain spots depending on where they were in, within the city. And so they were really cognizant of that. But I'm fascinated by that model, about that energy saving model. Our barrier is exactly what we were just talking about. We don't know what the rate adjustments are going to be with SRP. My guess is SRP is not going to be real warm to negotiating with a third party about light cost saving changes. You know, so I know there's some significant barriers there. If anything that we roll out, we probably should roll it out within our City of Mesa service territory first, because we can model all that. We can look at those pieces pretty readily and then see what happens. So, I mean, looking at a pilot of some kind within our City of Mesa electric service territory, and I wouldn't mind opening it up to a little bit of competitive, see if some of these third parties, because we're the energy company, see if some of these third parties can actually model something that makes sense. And a lot of these companies, they do all the maintenance for you. You outsource all the maintenance. You outsource the actual light installation. They proactively replace. And to your point, Mr. Luna, they put cell phone chips on those lights, so those lights call them when they burn out. So they get a message, and they're able to just go right out. So instead of a citizen calling, you know, or using the app saying, hey, this light burned out, the lights, when a citizen sees you guys show up to replace the light the day it burned out or the day after it burned out, they're going to be shocked. You know, there's those technologies. And I mean, when we look at long-term costs, your staff and employee-related expenses and all of those kind of things, maybe it's time to consider pushing some of those routine maintenance off, to a third-party vendor, and then keeping the key staff doing what you guys do best within the transportation. So I really think it's worth a really good evaluation. You need to get finance in to sharpen our pencils on it. But I think the sweet spot is within our City of Mesa electric service territory. Let's give something a try, and maybe we split it up. We split our territory into three pieces, and you guys do one, and we get some third-party vendors. It's kind of the same thing we did with fleet services and natural gas maintenance. You know, we talked about if we needed to, we could outsource that kind of thing. So, you know, no knock that you guys can't do it, but I think it'd be very interesting to have that conversation, see if we can save our taxpayers some money.
Councilman Richardson, just to kind of give you a little background on that too, we've been playing with the pilot program. We do have a system that we're modeling on the Fiesta District and other areas where it senses lights that are out. We have that, I mean, the technology's out there. We've been trying to pick the best approach, being cost effective and also getting what we want. The Wi-Fi side of it, it's just a matter of applying a diode or a device to the fixture, and we can have that technology there. Our lights are set up, our system's allowed to do that. It's just we're going to business. Now, we had looked at doing a pilot program in the Fiesta District with a third party and given a substantial number of lights to try. Just never penciled out well for us. But we'll continue to research that, because we most definitely want to find the best efficient. Well,
that's SRP service territory. Yeah, we had the challenge.
Yeah, sure it is. And that's that number. That SRP's rate structure is complicated. We're trying to team up with our other cities to put a group together to restructure their rates, because it's based on a certain number of watts range mm-hmm. that they fit into. And with the old technology, high-pressure sodiums, the watts were pretty consistent. LEDs have substantially gone down over the years, and the rate structure stayed the same. So we're going to try to aggressively go after that.
So how many megawatts, if we were to replace 36,000 streetlights, does that save SRP? Is that 10?
I have to ask the smart guy here.
Is it 20? What's the number? Because you make the case to SRP saying, look, you know, you have all these cities giving you back 20 megawatts, yes. And all of a sudden that's a power plant that they don't have to build. That's pretty substantial.
And that's some of the discussions we had with them. The biggest fixture, the biggest cost to a kilowatt being delivered to the pole is the fixed cost, and that's what we need to get SRP to adjust, because it's not the actual cost of the kilowatt being at that light. It's the actual delivery of that device. And our City of Mesa Electric Department is much more understanding of that. And I think we pay watt for watt on it, which is the way it should be.
Yeah, I wouldn't be ready to make any recommendation about debt financing a streetlight replacement. I mean, there's a lot of pencil sharpening that needs to do, some negotiations that need to happen to really understand what the return on investment is for this, because I think the potential is amazing. It's definitely something we should pursue, but we have you know, get your finance people in here scrutinizing the numbers a little bit. And debt financing, I don't know. I think we can do this without incurring debt on it. So, thanks.
Councilmember Richens. If I could just offer a little more information, you asked about the energy savings. At the time we did this study, which this presentation is based on, that LED technology, which it constantly updates, but the savings, if they did a citywide changeover, would be about 55%. It varies depending on it.
55% of what?
55% reduction in energy usage.
Give me a number and a number.
I don't have a kilowatt number in front of me, but like I said, cut your energy usage by 55%.
Which is a substantial number. We can get that to you.
Yeah, by half. Yeah, just.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to have that number, how many kilowatts that is.
Yeah, that's the key number to take back to SRP. And you start having to break it down by that conversation. It's like, what do you defer in cost because you have this? Or what are your other opportunities you're able to pursue because now you have an extra 55% of the city's power budget in your portfolio? So, I mean, making that case to the SRP is. Well, it's the direction we need to go, I guess. But
great. Well, I think this is clearly the future. This is what we know we're going to end up doing because they're going to. It's like buggy whips. We're not going to have the other option available to us before too long. So, I like the idea of kind of penciling it into a 2018 streets bond because it would be great not to do debt financing on it. But you know that gives us 18 months or so to see how maybe costs are continuing to come down. And maybe once Phoenix negotiates with SRP and all these other big contracts that are about to happen, we'll, their APS.
But
maybe the argument can be made that similar rates ought to apply. So I love the idea of letting this percolate for another 12 to 18 months and then if the numbers remain the same and we still have to bite off, $10, $12 million and that's not sitting in Mr. Brady's drawer, I would certainly entertain the idea of a street bond for it. But yes, Mr. Luna.
I just think that it's critical that we begin to incorporate new technology as we roll this out. I mean, we would be foolish if we didn't do that, especially in the downtown area where we're going to have hopefully many, many students, and to have Wi-Fi capability would be a great thing for our community. So make sure that we roll that technology in.
And we have. We've implemented. So there's Wi-Fi downtown right now outside in the public area. So where we can find a concentrated area of users. And I think we started rolling out some of the parks too. So we're doing it downtown. We're doing it parks. So to your point, it's a great idea. Then how do we take things just kind of, we're growing it out from those points where people congregate. And I think that's exactly right. That's part of being that smart city concept. I think we're just trying to be strategic about where do our citizens kind of congregate, where we can get that density of service. So I think that's something we'll look at, continue to expand in the future. So,
Mayor. Yes, Mr. Richards.
Yeah, I mean, the lights aren't going to be a one-size-fit-all approach. I mean, as you aptly illustrated, you have dark skies issues that we have to consider, historic lighting issues in downtown Mesa that we need to consider, some neighborhoods are better apt for a certain application than others, and having some smart people do those studies and help figure out, and maybe there's a neighborhood involvement piece that needs to be discussed through all that. So it's, on its surface, it seems like a pretty easy stuff, but it sounds like the mayor kicked it past where me and you are going to be here, Lenny.
Yeah.
So 12 to 18 months, that's way too far out. Come on, let's go, people. thanks.
You bet. And this is developing quickly. I think everybody here knows every time we go out of town, any kind of city function for organizations, you're accosted by people that want to sell you LED lights. And so they're very aggressive in marketing this. And I just have this feeling that a year from now, things will be even more aggressive and prices will come down and they might have the next best thing and what they put on a light pole, and maybe it'll be something even more exciting than Wi-Fi. I don't know. So I think this is evolving. And so I think a year from now, if we put out an RFP, there'll be a lot of companies that want to talk to us about this.
Right. Here, I think you all said it. The cost benefit is really actually going to be realized once we work with SRP. Otherwise, we're not really accomplishing. All we're doing is putting up a different colored light. Because if we're still paying for the same energy cost, it's a, you know, there's a, maybe it's a little bit of savings, and certainly we can do it in our 5 square mile city electric utility out of, what are we at, 140, just a round off, 140 square miles. I mean, that's great, but to move the needle, we really, we all need to maybe express to SRP our interest in, and working with the other cities to acknowledge that this is a new technology and that there needs to be a new rate structure to recognize this demand on their energy. So,
and Mayor, if I might.
Yes.
You know, having those negotiations means that other discussions we're having with SRP, we need to tread carefully about, because they start blending together. They know that what this side of the house is doing, when this side of the house is doing, and, you know, I think of some of the other negotiations we currently have with SRP, and we need to recognize that this is an intertwined activity that we do, and if we're going to expect to get some of these cost savings, we have to understand that some of the other policies we implement add cost to them, and they'll be less inclined to negotiate.
Well, I don't know if that gave you the direction that you were looking for, but
I think we're going to take this. We'll work with the SAC committee. I think that's what we heard. That's, I think we can spend some time in that committee.
Yeah, working through some of these issues.
I agree. Thank you very much,
Shelley. Thank
you. Appreciate the good presentation. The next item on our agenda for this meeting is information pertaining to the current job order contracting projects. Council, any questions regarding those items? Hearing none, the next item is to acknowledge receipts of minutes of various boards and committees. Thank you. In a second, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. That passes. Next item is to hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Mr. Cavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to follow up. We had a great event yesterday in the Fiesta District with the ribbon cutting for Southern Avenue Villas, and it's gotten very nice media attention. I heard the mayor several times this morning on KTAR, and it's really its first new residential housing in the Fiesta District in more than 20 years. It's very nice, major private investment into the district, which is what we've been seeing this past year in terms of new jobs, reuse of older buildings and strip malls, and it's nice to see the concept that the city's worked on so hard to add housing, to add jobs, to improve the infrastructure there. And again, I wanted to take a moment to thank all the city staff who worked so hard to make this project come along in a very positive direction. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and congratulations to Mr. Kavanaugh. I would call that a personal success for you as well. I know that's been something you've worked on literally for 16 years, I would think, for most of those that time. So congratulations on a big new residential project in the Fiesta District. Any other items on reports on meetings attended? Mr. Brady, welcome back. We've
Thank
been
you.
Counting the minutes that you were gone.
You know, you got to grow the staff, give them experience. So. Thank you for helping him to... Grow.
I mean, just collective sigh of relief when we saw you walk in.
Thank you. Just a reminder, we'll have our council meeting on Monday. We'll see you then. Thank you.
Okay.
And I'll be here.
Thank you very much. I would now entertain a motion to convene an executive session. Thank you. In a second. Okay. We will go into executive session. Thank you.